if you'll all have a seat and play along with me. I spy with my little eye something that is red. And we have some congregational tension this morning. Okay, some people instantly go and guess, and you gotta hate when they guess right because it totally throws off the point, which you did, so now we gotta play again. I spy with my little eye something else that is red. Okay, some of you instantly guess. This is intriguing. When you play with a child, what do? They look everywhere. And they hear, it's red, but it's not the heart. It's not the roses. It's not. Once we've defined what it is, only then do we start driving into what it's not. Last week, we unpacked just a little bit. We started this verse, love is patient and love is kind. And we started looking at what love is and the way those words, just a quick recap, it's agape, patient, used to be translated long suffering. Patience suffers with another for however long it takes for a purpose. That we remember that the kind word there isn't just nice. It's not just smiling and letting the person go about their own way, hurting themselves. No, love, I have no clue why it's forwarding on its own. Love is entering into another's suffering for a purpose. And right, we know what that purpose is. That purpose is so that their suffering will ultimately be relieved. Anybody ever do that? I'm kind of sad right now. None of you, you've never seen your kid, and they're just wrestling through that thing, and they can't get through it, and so you enter into it with them. You're beyond trying to just fix it for them. You enter into it with them, and you suffer with them. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your own spouse, but you realize this is so big that I can't just tweak this or I can't just force this. And so I'm going to enter into that suffering with them. And you somehow resolve in your heart that I'm going to stay here however long it takes. And I'm going to travel with them just so they don't have to be alone in this. If you've never done that, man, you're in for a wild ride. Because that's what love looks like. See, this is our starting point. When love is defined, love suffers with another however long it takes for a purpose. That's the message of Christianity. Don't miss it. That God himself left heaven and suffered with us so that we don't have to suffer for eternity. But so often we're ready to jump to heaven before we sit there and go, God himself suffered with us. I love in the music, and I'm going to draw your attention to this. It goes all the way back to the Psalms. If you're reading the Psalms, you see that little word Selah. And I've talked about it a lot lately. But it means to pause, to reflect, to let it sink in and set down to your gut. We're going to be doing that a lot more here as a church. We're just going to sit back and go, whoa. That's how God loves us. Anybody else bad at that? Bad at pausing? Bad at letting things sink in? Bad at stopping at red lights? Right? We're not good at that. We gun it. We plow through. Agape, it starts off going, I spy with my little eye something that suffers along with me for as long as it takes for a purpose. And then the text goes on, and it's incredible because the next thing it says, sorry. By the way, quick sidebar. As things hit you in this series, can I suggest Mark 1:15-ing this? This is what I mean. This comes out of Mark 1:15. If you have no clue, it's weird because here as a church, we've traveled together for, by the way, next year is our 20th anniversary. But the weird thing is, I've realized this with my wife. My wife and I have this history that's longer than our kids have been part of it. Right? Isn't that weird? So you're telling this story about the person you were dating when you met your wife, and your kids just look at you like, how dare you, Dad? You dated someone other than Mom? Because at their point in the narrative, they've always known you as a couple, and they're going, whoa, how you cheated on Mom. No, I didn't meet her yet. Some of you are having that same experience. We've journeyed, and we've hit some things as a church that we've wrestled through, but you're coming in at this point, and you're going, whoa, whoa, I've never heard that before. Can we just own that tension's real? And so one of the things we do is we're going to start having these things where we bring you up on our story. We're going to go, hey, we've talked about this one, and it's so important that we're going to stop and back up, but I'm going to throw it out there in a sermon. This is one of those, Mark 1:15, and if you want to come, the first hour of our new members class, it's just going to be Mark 1:15. If you're going, I don't get this, but this is what Jesus says in Mark 1:14. He says, the time has come, the kairos has come, the kingdom of heaven is trying to break in. And our response to that is to repent, that is to literally think different after that kairos event, and then act on that new way of thinking. See, most of us during this love series are going to have a kairos. We've defined love at this level. We know this verse. Love is patient. You can sing it with me if you want, right? Love is patient. Love is, it doesn't, but some of you are like, sweet, I can read. Right? We know the verse, but as we dig into it, this is, I will go on record as saying, the most mistranslated verse in Scripture. That even when you look at it, the way, and this, I'm not blaming anybody here, I'm going, our language has changed so dramatically that even the difference between the King James Version on this and the NIV version, the words don't even exist. Charity or love, envy or, I'm sorry, boast or vaunteth. Has anybody ever used vaunteth in their life? When we see this kind of translation issue, what it tells us is that we got to dig in and go, I don't understand this. I'm not loving the way that God called me to love because I don't even get what love is. Can I tell you as a pastor, that's a weird thing to have to admit to myself? That I've preached this text a gazillion times, and it wasn't until this week that it finally hit me. This was a huge kairos for me. So let's dig in. Right, this is what we're focusing on today. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's now defined, the I spy with my little eye something that is red. And so you've got to start eliminating the things that are red that it's not. It to be the heart, it can't be the rose. It can't be the stole. It can't be the other heart, even though those are all red. Here's what's going on in the verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. What's being taught in doesn't envy, doesn't boast is echoed in Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of others. Another way to say it is, it just ain't about you anymore. See, love isn't about me getting mine. Love isn't about me getting my own way. Let's play I Spy with this verse just a little bit more. The way I'd say it, when you're suffering with somebody, I'm amazed when we get honest how often this happens. I enter into the suffering with the person. And we have to admit, why do we enter into suffering with people? Sometimes I'm going to suffer with you because I haven't dealt with my own stuff. See, I'm going to come alongside the person that's really wrestling with this because I'm not ready to wrestle with it yet. And I'm amazed how many times people do this, and when the person has the breakthrough, they get really, really envious. You know, my marriage isn't quite the way I'd like it to be. And so I really, really invest into my kids' marriage. And they've been only married 3 years, but they've got the marriage that I've been waiting the last 30 for. And deep down inside, your gut just starts churning. By the way, this is why discipleship is hard. Because Jesus even owned this. He looked at his disciples and he said, even greater works than these you will do. Man, what happens when you invest into that student, when you coach that player, and they reach levels that are even higher than you ever reached? This got to be a gut check for people, because when we're investing in that way, can we just own for a second that when the result is envy, then that wasn't love? It can be all kinds of other things that look like love, but it's not love. See, love suffers with another as long as it takes for a purpose, but it doesn't envy. And it doesn't boast. How many people, they flip it the other way? They suffer with someone until the person has the breakout. But the minute the person has the breakthrough, the minute the person has to some success, what you see is the person that was discipling, the coach, pounding their own chest, boasting about how that kid could have never done it without them. Man, how often do we result to that? This was a gut check for me. The third thing it says that love isn't is it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it doesn't, I love the way the King James says this, it doesn't puff itself up for doing so. The way my mama taught me this was don't play the martyr. My mom's here this morning. Right? How many of us, we enter into suffering with another, and I don't want to minimize that because that is what love is, but we enter into suffering with another and we tell everybody about it. Oh, man. I got to go out and spend some time with my cousin. They had a relapse. And I'm going to be with them, and it's going to be hard. But, man, we puff up our feathers so that we can feel better about what we're doing. Because the truth is, it's really not about them. It's about me and how great I am. Is this tracking with people, or am I totally off base? Man, you guys are tough to read this morning. Like, either this is hitting deep down in your gut and you're vibing with this, or you're like, dude, Henry didn't prep this week. Can't wait for strategic plan tonight. What's wrong with the worship service? Those sermons. So it's really tough. Like, you guys are like that kind of tough to read. So I'm going to assume the later because I'm vain.
puffed up, not loving.
Right? Can I tell you what the gut check on me was? Sorry, before I do that, I want to let you pause. I want to give you a chance to think different after. Man, are there places in your life where you have been long-suffering for another, and you've said you're sticking it in as long as it takes, but deep down inside, you're envious? Deep down inside, you're doing it so that you can get the glory when they have the breakthrough? Where's that happening in your life? Can I warn us? We got to be real careful as the church when it comes to this one. We got to be real careful, so much so that it's one of our core values. If you don't know what our core values are as the church, when you walk out the door, they're written right there. But our third core value is we value people over programs. We value people over our projects. Man, but how easy is it, especially when we're talking evangelism, to make the person into the project? That we sit there and we go, man, if I just love this person, if I long suffer with them, however long it takes for a purpose, then they're going to convert, and I got one more notch on my Christian belt. What's it look like to love that person, period? Not looking at them as a project, looking at them as a person who God has called you to enter into suffering with, to suffer alongside. Man, how does that change the view that you have of God? When I had to reflect on this one myself this week, I realized it's really easy to slip into this, that I'm just a project, that God just wants to fix me. But no, see, the story is this, that God entered into our suffering while we were still sinners. At least that's what Scripture says. It says, when we were still sinners, he died for us. I mean, this is the awesome part of Christianity, that even if you reject the gospel, even if you say, God, I want nothing to do with you, Jesus still died for that person. Why is that so important? Because if it's true for that person, then it's true for you too. That no matter where you are on this journey, no matter how much you've blown it this week, no matter how many times you've fallen into that pattern over and over and over, no matter how many times you haven't been able to shake that sin, God not only forgives it, but he entered into that suffering with you. He's standing right there next to you in it. That's why we raised the cross, so that it's even more clear that Christ's suffering is right there with us. That's why we take communion week after week after week, because we know that his body is broken for you and for me. Not because we worked harder, but because he loves us. And so we pause as we receive that gift.